Learning was very much about, well, in fact, it used to be called education. And you went along and people did it to you. Whereas now learning is, it's up to us to do our learning. CPD schemes, it's up to the individual to work out that we're doing our learning. But in doing that learning, we need to understand it's not just about capturing knowledge at one point in time. Learning now in these complex times involves the environment keeps changing, we keep changing, our learning keeps changing. And so the important thing is not to go away from here with particular knowledge that you think is right now, but it's to do with an awareness of issues that you then need to keep on looking at, whether it's personal skills or whether it's technical knowledge, because things ain't going to stand still for the next 12 months. You can't just come back here in 12 months' time. But when you go away from here, you've got to spend a lot of time and be constantly aware of the fact that everything is changing all the time. And I'm afraid we can't stop that. So it's about developing a mindset that means we're being proactive to things that are happening out there. Another thing we've got new for the first time this year is the fact we've got some sponsors. So we're absolutely delighted that Mazars are our gold level sponsors and Sage are our bronze sponsors. So please can we have a really big round of applause for them. It means we've been able to give you even better value for money this year. So we're very, very grateful to them for their support. We've got stands outside there, so do please have a look around there, because all this is actually extending your knowledge about the accountancy profession of which you're all a part. So it's great to see so many of you here. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic session this afternoon. John's already said that he feels he's a more than adequate contest to the council meeting that's going on in the Lancaster room. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave you and go to the council meeting, because that's where I need to be for the next couple of hours, but I'll be catching up with you later on. But on behalf of council, on behalf of all the AAT staff who have put in such a phenomenal effort organising this event, welcome. We really are pleased to have you all here. We're very excited about this event. We're very excited about the buzz there already was over lunch. Hope you go on enjoying it. And with that, I'll hand over to Brian Palmer, past president of AAT, who's going to introduce our speaker. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Hilary, for that good introduction. I feel a bit like Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, I too am a past president. But quite a lot of fun, long time ago, 2006-07. I've watched the members' weekenders grow over the last few years from an idea that another past president, Catherine Chamberlain, had. Her vision on setting this as an idea is really paying dividends now, and that can be indicated by the extra numbers we've got this year. Rather than me sort of going about myself, I would now like to turn attention to our guest speaker, John Whiting. John is someone who I've watched over a few, I won't say too many years, but over a number of years, from his time when he was the president of the Chartered Institute of Taxation, and at that time he was involved with a partner in PricewaterhouseCoopers, to 2009 when he joined the Chartered Institute of Taxation as their tax policy director. I've always had the utmost respect for him and was absolutely delighted when he got the role that he's coming largely to speak to us today about, that of the tax director of the Office of Tax Simplification. If that is, that's a huge job for anybody, but I think, you know, if anyone can make a difference, John is one of those people. So without further ado, can I just remind you first of all that you should, as Hilary said this morning, please turn your phones off rather than just put them on silent. It avoids any problems with the mics. And I'd like to hand over now to John. So thank you very much. Can you show him a warm welcome, please?
Brian, thank you very much for that introduction. Yes, it is sort of three past presidents in a row, although I can't claim to be past president of this body. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and speak to you this afternoon. Very much appreciated. And as Brian has alluded to, in a sense, with me doing the keynote, you get two for the price of one, in the sense that I have two roles as the Office of Tax Simplification and also the Chartered Institute of Taxation. I'll try and say a bit about each of those. As Brian's alluded to, I'll spend the majority of my time on OTS simplification and, in a sense, answer the question that for those of you who deal with taxation, and I presume there's a few here, are there? You're not all pure accounting fetishists, are you?
No.
The worry in people's minds is usually, gosh, Office of Tax Simplification, is that going to put us out of business? I think you've guessed the answer to that one already. No, it isn't, but we'll see how we go. So we'll spend a bit of time talking about that, what's going to happen, how it's going. Very more than happy to take comments and questions as we go along. As time permits towards the end, I'll say a few words about agent strategy, something that's close to Brian's heart, and also suggested a few observations about what's changing in the tax system generally. I'm sure we won't get through all the slides I've put down. You have copies of the slides on the tables in front of you. Hopefully you've found them. So you've got those if you want to check up. And if anybody wants to talk to me about them afterwards, you've got my details and I'll be around for a while. So let's talk a bit about the OTS, Office of Tax Simplification. It's part of the current government's commitment to a simpler tax system. And I presume from your comments, you would presumably echo that we need a simpler tax system. Or at least you'd echo the fact that it's complex. Yes? Right, okay. Interestingly, strictly the OTS is there for the lifetime of the current Parliament, so every time there's a bit of a spat between Cameron and Clegg, I think we're going to come to an end, but so far we're okay. We're actually quite a small unit. Michael Jack, our chairman, ex-MP, ex-financial secretary, myself, small team of revenue treasury people, and a number of private sector secondees who mostly give their time for free, either at the behest of their firms, grateful to firms like BDO, PwC and others for seconding people, and also some small practitioners who are spending time with us and working for very little money. It's a pretty small thing. If you can follow this, we've currently got a strength of about 6 full-time equivalent people. And we are part-time. My own commitment is supposedly one day a week. Michael's is one day a month, but we forgot to check that apparently it's a 24-hour day. So hey-ho. So, what do we do? We're supposed to look at all taxes, everything under the guise of HMRC. New taxes supposedly is perfect because it's done through the tax policy making. We're supposed to look at the existing stock, come up with recommendations, so broadly feeding into budgets, recommendations to the Chancellor. And interestingly, we're supposed to be revenue neutral, so presumably most people would say the obvious recommendation to simplify income tax, for example, would be to abolish it. Yes? Yeah? Go for that one? It has certain revenue implications, so we better not recommend that. But I do take that sort of advisedly, because ultimately it is for the Chancellor to take things forward. And I think this is really that we have regard to revenue implications and rather than obsessively trying to balance the package. But this is fundamentally about simplification is what we're trying to do. And what we very much try and do, because of that small unit, is get out and about. It's an absolute cardinal principle I set when we started going, that we go out, we talk to a lot of people, road shows, we go length and breadth of the country, we'll talk to any group, very much welcome input. Fundamentally, we're trying to gather stuff from people like yourselves, so when we come up with recommendations, it's firmly rooted in reality. It really is like it is. So that is absolutely key to what we do. As a matter of interest, when we set out on our roadshows, another group went out to do consultations, a group called Take That, who some of you have obviously heard of, a popular beat combo, I believe. I'm very proud. We did more dates than Take That. Although they claim they've played to more people. But after this weekend, I think it's probably in balance, but we'll see. Most of you possibly, or some of you at least, will say, well, OK, why simplification? I want to just pause on that. I'd hope it's fairly obvious. If we simplify the system, you know, life gets easier. And I think, crucially, easier to get it right. Less hassle, less worry, more certainty. And I put all sides because that's you and me as advisors. It's our clients, and it's also the revenue as well. So I'd hope that was okay, you know, makes it worthwhile. The other side is, what is simplification? And I guess when I started this, the immediate reaction was simplification is about tearing pages out of Tolley's CCH handbook. Yeah, you know, envisage it. I still think that is valid, but I think administrative stuff, making it easier to comply with, making it smoother, is at least as important. If anybody's got any observations on the balance, let me know later. But I think what I'd say is we very much have regard to both. So if we can simplify technical language, fine. If we can make it easier to comply, at least as good. So what are we doing? These are what we did in the first year, and I'll just give you a sort of progress report because still, you know, things are happening, and then we'll look at what we've done in the second year, and then I'll ask you for input on what we should do going forward. So two big projects, reliefs and small business taxation, and a sort of third unofficial get up and running like any new entity, like Weekenders or whatever. So that's broadly what we did in the first year. So reliefs. The first thing we did was to go out and sort of try and find out how many reliefs there are in the tax system. Does anybody know how many there are, or anybody care to guess? Too many? Yes? Anybody volunteer a number? 500? Any advance on 500? Come on, higher. 1,000, that's better. We found 1,042. Which is very disappointing we couldn't get another 24, because then it would have been 1066 and all that. But we probably did miss a few. But, you know, the point being, there's a heck of a lot of reliefs in the system. We did having codified them, we did an in-depth study on about 150-odd. I mean, you may say, well, why didn't we look at the lot? Well, we'd still be there today. Better to look at some. Better to establish a methodology on how you review reliefs. And we were looking at things like, you know, are they still valid? Do they still work? Why were they there in the first place? Do they still meet a need? Do they give value for money in all sorts of ways? So we looked at 150 or so and came up with some fairly obvious recommendations. You know, looked at ones you'd say should be retained. Looked at ones that potentially could be improved or revised. So, for example, Enterprise Investment Scheme, Entrepreneurs Relief, scope for expanding, and I'm very proud that a number of the points we made have come through in this year's Finance Bill Act, you know, just expanding how those operate, and even things like Entrepreneurs Relief potentially going to more share schemes. I say those are our recommendations. We haven't had the credit for it. You know, I'm not bitter or anything, but, you know, that's there. Other things, we've sort of laid the groundwork, and the Treasury are supposedly thinking of them. I'm obviously not going to talk about all of them, but just a matter of interest, some of you may recollect things like chattels relief, you know, the CGT exemption, £6,000. Any guesses as to how much that £6,000 ought to be if it was raised in line with inflation? 16. Pretty close. It's about 14. So, you know, at a minimum, we've said, goodness sake, catch up with inflation. So may see some action on some of those. We did, of course, recommend abolishing a number of things. And if you're wondering why some things come up in red, red are the ones that are broadly being taken forward. So, you know, some were, you know, controversial. The late night taxes that many will have come across, we said that should go because it was basically only subsidising large firms in London and was over complex. It was retained, I hope, but it was consulted on. But quite seriously, 90% of it goes to large accounting, legal, finance houses in London. I'll leave you to think as to whether it should stay or not, but be that as it may. Some fairly trivial ones, or in some cases emotive ones, recommended for abolition, such as the infamous luncheon vouchers, still £3 a day from the 1940s. And one of the reasons that I just note these is a number of these things, most of these things, are going through in the current finance bill. And the one tax-saving tip I'll give you, does anybody use Angostura bitters? Yes? So what do you put it in? Bit of gin? Good for you. Pink gin, etc. Well, you probably know. I don't know. How many bottles do you get through? About a bottle a week? Weekly? Yeah, yeah, okay. You probably know that there is no, despite being about 30 degrees proof, there is no alcohol duty on Angostura bitters because officially it's a food additive. So that's why, you know, pink gins are good for you. And it's food. Anyway, that alcohol exemption will end from next April. So the tax-saving tip is get your bottle of Angostura bitters now. Be that as it may. So there we go. That's what we're progressing on those. The other big project that we did was on small business in our first year. And here there are a few things to pick up on because there's things definitely happening and it's quite germane to some of the stuff that you're doing in this conference. We did a lot of research, and these are the sort of things that businesses said were their big problems, difficulties with tax. And the first few are definitely in the sort of batting order. The most greatest difficulty came from sheer frequency of change, keeping up with it. Interestingly, numbers 2 and 3, PAYENIC issues and HMRC, were picked up very readily by the government, and of course we've got a consultation moving ahead on integrating the operations. Will it formally combine the two? No, it won't. But hopefully we can bring them together, and of course the consultation that's rolling, and there's some comments in a later slide, is looking at, for example, getting NICs onto a cumulative basis in the same way as PAYE. Look out for a Condoc soon. Quite a lot on HMRC admin aspects, we'll come back to that. And various other things, including a simpler system, we'll come back to that. And of course, another thing we were specifically asked to look at was the famous, infamous IR35. Those of you who work with contractors, etc., freelancers, will be well aware of this. As a matter of interest, it was due to raise £500 or £600 million a year when it was first introduced. That's strictly how much it raised over 10 years. Of course, it does protect quite a lot of money simply by stopping everybody going and working through their own company. And everybody equally recognised the burdens it creates. What we recommended was, well, we noted three probable ways of solving it, and our preference was to suspend it and see what happened. Okay, seen as too much of a risk. So broadly, the way forward was improve the way of working it, although, of course, long term, if you ever merged income tax and national insurance, that would solve a lot. Now, what has happened is... Oh, that's good. It's not moved. I think we've got a bootleg computer in the room. risk management. IR35 forum, specific group looking at running this, how can it work better? And you may have seen, some of you, since I did these slides, that the Revenue have published a document on business tests, picking up this idea that we also floated. Revenue are also saying they're definitely improving their way of working, trying to bring it together under a number of specialist units, therefore cut out a lot of the spurious inquiries that have tended to bedevil IR35. The business tests, those of you who are into it, I do recommend you have a look at the document the Revenue have come out with. It almost deserves its own separate session for those who are interested in it. Obviously, those of you who are interested will have spotted it's aroused a deal of controversy, so this may need a bit of formulation. But I think worth a test, worth a try to see how it goes. So that's the first year. That's the first few things we did. We've then gone on in our second year, and we've only been going just over 18 months, so, well, we're doing tolerably well. More on small business, pensioners, share schemes. And you may say, why did we choose these? Well, hopefully small business, why did we choose that, is fairly obvious. Pensioners and share schemes, you know, broadly, pensioners is a wide application thing, could affect a lot of people if we can simplify. Share schemes is probably one where a few pages could usefully be torn out of the Yellow Book or whatever. So what's happened here? We set out to really get going on research, did an awful lot of digging around, and we think we got input from about 4,000 businesses and advisors, and indeed I'm sure there's one or two people here who've given us input, for which many thanks. Because again, we're trying to make sure that what we got was firmly based recommendations. And three broad headings came out: admin, the nano-business idea, and disincorporation. And the admin paper, really coming up with sort of, well, quite a lot, but under four broad headings. There's a lot that the revenue could do to improve education support. They could communicate better. They could give people certainty better. They could hopefully just deal with their admin better. I sense that resonates. Just looping back to the first thing, one of the things we also flagged up is that the revenue has a tendency to treat small businesses as all the same. You know, there's the large business service carved off at that end. And then everything else, you know, from the part-time hairdresser to something knocking on the door of the AIM market, is a small business. And we did suggest, you know, you might try and categorise it a bit better and therefore target the assistance. I'm pleased to say the revenue has sort of picked up virtually everything we recommended, and they've put out a response document. I'm not going to go through them all, but to pick up a couple, you know, they are beginning to trial a bit of email, hooray, hooray. An admin, well, of course, it comes up under the agent strategy, but things like improving checks on payment allocations and the like. One that I think is quite an interesting one, VAT on international business. You may say that's a pretty academic thing, but the point there we came home to us is how many small businesses do international activities. Yeah? Many of your clients as well. And the problem was that the mindset of the revenue is very much that only big businesses do international. Whereas, actually, if you've got a big business doing international business that does a hell of a lot of international transactions, they probably know what they're doing and they've got a department doing it. A small business trying to do a few sales into France or Germany or whatever, or a bit of buying, it needs the help. It needs a bit more understanding. So it's something we've pushed very heavily, that, you know, the revenue should get better at that. And those of you who are involved in small businesses that do a little bit, because I could see a lot of nodding heads, do pick up on the response document. Do help us by telling the revenue what's really needed there. You know, we're not trying to put you out of businesses. It's just trying to make the revenue's efforts better. We touched on disincorporation, came up with the argument that we think there should be a disincorporation relief, moving from limited company status back to sole trader, particularly what I call the 0% corporation tax rate company, the ones that incorporated to take advantage of that 0% corporation tax. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember what every professional body, AAT included, said would happen? Yeah, that there'd be a heck of a lot of sole traders incorporate. Which the government said, oh, no. And then when it happened, what did they do? Hang on a minute, this is avoidance. Yeah, it wasn't a happy episode, but we've got a lot of companies like that that arguably should just be sole traders. So the argument is we should have a simpler, tax-free way of going back to sole trader status. And those of you who are aware of ESC C16, which has now been legislated, obviously we were very well aware of what that was doing. And the fact that that's gone in with a cap on it, which many people say is too low, we feel this might help get a bit of a balance. So conduct due before too long. So watch that space. Come to the one that really does deserve time, and I suspect you'll pick this up a bit during the weekend in various guises. And that's what's going to happen to the smallest businesses, nano businesses, as we describe them, to make the point that not all small businesses are the same. And we said there's a strong argument for businesses up to about 30,000 turnover to go onto a cash basis. Why? Well, among other things, our evidence was that two-thirds already use cash basis, even if they were strictly supposed to do it properly. Now, as perhaps, I guess, most are aware, the government's actually said, oh, whoopee-doo, yeah, great idea, 77,000 limit. I've got my concerns about that because that starts to take it into a much bigger field. Be very interesting as to what AAT and yourselves, your firms, say in response to the conduct that's out. I really would encourage you to give a response to it. You know, is this too high? Are we getting away from the main particular thing? Because there's other things. We'd recommended more flat rate deductions. If you're trying to get your head around that, everybody, or virtually everybody, I suspect, uses one flat rate deduction, and that is for car mileage. Yeah? So the argument being, should we have more? And we thought there was quite a good argument for it. The revenue have said yes, but they've tied it together with this, and as some have already argued, their proposed rates are not terribly generous. Partly because they're trying to balance the ticket, and I think they're maybe not doing it as well as they should. Again, please comment. We also came up and suggested a proper study on an alternative way of calculating tax, turnover tax-based tax measure. That's been rejected. Okay, I don't mind. I mean, if we can press ahead with these on a good basis, I think that probably meets it. But we thought there was an argument there, but maybe the UK is not ready for such things. Many other countries use that, for example, France. We did look very carefully at this around the world as to what others did and came up with this lovely example in Spain of how restaurants are taxed, and there they pay tax on the basis of a flat levy per table. Right? Per table. Now, usually by now, the tax practitioners in the room have worked out the avoidance technique. Because when Manuel sees the tax inspector coming down the road, what is Manuel going to do? Push the tables together, yes. So we decided such things were not really practical. And if you ever go to Spain and see that many restaurants have little ledges around the room or sort of ex-sherry barrels as tables, you may like to know that those are not tables for the purposes of this legislation. Just within this, another thing that we stressed was that we wanted to have whatever came up as a sort of default basis, the norm for the smallest business. What we seem to be getting to is quite serious issues that people will want advice on. I'm not sure that's quite simplification. Again, be very interested in people's views. Let's just note the others and then we'll pause for a quick word. So pensioners, we are having a look at that. We've done a report codifying the problems. Anybody who's interested, do have a look at it. The sort of things that are fairly obvious areas, age allowances, state pension, etc., and no doubt people spotted that the Chancellor saved us some work by solving the age allowance problem, which I was forced into a denial that that was ours. We'd noted it was a problem. We hadn't recommended what to do. And state pension, various routes that might be possible that we've got to go and study. So anybody who deals with pensioners, please, we'd very much welcome hearing from you. Anything's here. So views, other suggestions, welcome. We've also looked at share schemes, and as I say, I'm just rattling through these because we haven't got a lot of time. We've looked at approved schemes, the tax-advantaged ones, things like CSOP, Enterprise Management Incentive and the like, and looked at how we might improve. So, for example, recommending dropping the actual approval process, possibly streamlining, certainly quite a lot of scope for technical simplifications, harmonising definitions. Conduct due very shortly, but we think most of this will go ahead. What we're also going to be looking at is unapproved schemes. So any of you particularly interested in that, again, you know, do let us know if there's sort of things we ought to be looking at, particularly on unapproved schemes. So there you are. We've looked at the first year. I've taken you rapidly through the second year, what we're doing now, continuing with pensioners, continuing with share schemes. We're looking at the causes of complexity, but really, what else should we look at? You know, we're up and running 18 months, 2 years. What other areas? So if you have any nominations for the most complex area of tax that we ought to look at, I don't know, anybody volunteer any name? Well, think about it and let us know. And as a matter of interest, we are trying to look at complexity and what really causes it. So just finally, to draw it together before I pause and have a quick look at other things, we're looking at simplification. We basically inform the Chancellor. Next reports did inform Budget 2012. We'll be leading into Budget 2013. How much impact do we have? I usually put a couple of figures up to remind me that in the budget last year, Chancellor said, thanks to the OTS, we're going to get rid of 100 pages of tax legislation. 382, anybody guess what that is? That was the length of the finance bill that he introduced the other side, and this year's finance bill is close to 700 pages. That said, there is a political commitment. We do seem to have interest from ministers in this. I don't think we're going to put you out of business, those of you who are practitioners. But in a sense, what we're aiming for, I often ask, what's our dream? And I think the next reality contest, you know, eat your heart out at X Factor. I think Tax Factor is the next thing, where people like yourselves can nominate your least favourite tax legislation and we can perhaps junk it. So there's a very rapid run through what the OTS is doing. Any immediate comments, questions? Sir?
Yes, I'm Ben Walker from Counter Technician Magazine. Thank you for the presentation, I thought it was very interesting. You mentioned the problems the government had with incorporation when
a whole bunch of sole traders incorporated themselves, thanks. And we've recently, like this last week or two, seen ICAEW issue a warning to government over the changes to the child benefit system, which is going to require, as I understand it, people to self-declare and then it be clawed back through PAYE, which they think is going to be hard to enforce and very, very hard to manage. And I just wondered, as someone who is now working at the heart of government, why you feel, but independent of it, why you think that government of all shades is often ignores the advice of accountants and accountancy bodies?
Very good question. Anything to do with child benefit and the charge, I was just talking to Murray Jefford at the start and saying that we've just been to a finance bill open day when you submit questions to the revenue. And I think the total number of questions on everything other than child benefit was about 40. On child benefit, there were 95. But your point on why doesn't the government listen, we are dealing with politics. I think, you know, at the end of the day, we have to remember that the tax system is the most intensely political thing that they do, and there's no question about that. And you may recollect that there was a commitment to tax child benefit on the high earners. And I think what we're into, in all honesty, was the fact that a decision was taken and then it had to be implemented. Whereas, personally, I have campaigned long and hard over the years for consultation. And that means consultation on what are we doing, how are we doing it, and then the detail of how we're doing it. And on child benefit, unfortunately, we missed stage one, arguably missed stage two, and we're now struggling to reverse engineer stage three. Any other immediate questions? Otherwise, I'll note here. There's one there. I think it's a microphone going to the lady down there. You win.
Thank you. May I inquire, we're talking about what you're doing in terms of the machinations of the tax system. Are we going to improve awareness of the goals of the tax system and how the different departments are going to become more joined at the hip so we can understand the impact and how seamless I believe the desire is that it will become?
I think there's a huge scope for, what is it, sort of one-stop government or whatever you want to term it. And it's quite interesting that both the PAYENIC and the Pensioners Projects are beginning to force departments together, you know, HMRC and DWP. We're also talking a lot to BIS, Business Innovation Skills, on the share schemes. So that we're trying to bring together, because it really ought to be all together, one stop, seamless, etc. I think that is a message not so much from us, but just generally, that certainly David Gawke, as Minister responsible for the tax system, has definitely got. And you may have seen the consultation on transparency. And I think that is part of him starting the debate and trying to get better understanding and better linking of the tax system. Don't promise that everybody will get it, but I mean, to give you a small example, you know, there's more talk about should we educate people in tax at school, etc. Now, you know, forget French and maths and things like that. Tax. And compulsory at that. And it'll outdo rugby for violence and things like that. But, you know, the serious point is better education and better linking, I think, is very necessary. But maybe not tomorrow, maybe next year. One here. And it looks like B again.
On the issue of bringing together the government departments, my bugbear is everybody who is over the age of 16 has a national insurance number, regardless of their income or their status in society. Surely if you're self-employed or if you're employed or you're a pensioner, it's the same person, the same tax. Surely it comes together. Why does national insurance not talk to PAYE, does not talk to self-assessment, does not talk to pension department?
Why don't things talk to each other? I'm afraid that's probably a product of history. That, of course, national insurance fundamentally is based on a system that has a load of people sitting in Long Benton in Newcastle entering figures in a ledger. You know, and everybody, every time you do a week, you get a tick. And that doesn't necessarily talk to PAYE, and it doesn't, you know, again, there's an element of a link to the previous question that the government recognises it's coming together, but it's, you know, joking apart, it's not going to happen anytime quickly and soon. But they're getting there. But the, you know, the difficulties there are must not be underestimated.
Before I actually draw my old age pension?
Presupposes it's worth drawing by the time you get there. Highly unlikely. C at the back, I think.
I am delighted that we are having an Office of Tax Simplification. I always used to watch the budget with interest, and when a Chancellor stood up and said they're simplifying the tax system, as a practitioner, I would then rub my hands with glee because I knew that it would become more complicated. Is the Office of Tax Simplification going to be able to address some of the complications that are brought on by the influence of Europe and the VAT complications as well, or are we going to be looking at sort of 10 generations from now?
Well, being realistic, with the size of unit I've got, we ain't going to solve the system and simplify the whole lot in the five-year mandate that broadly we've got. VAT is an interesting one because I mentioned all the reliefs we did and the fact that we sort of categorised them. Broadly, we left VAT to one side as being very euro-influenced and also sensitive. I think recent events, I don't know, did anybody have the pasty at lunchtime? Have probably shown there is a great need to have a proper look at VAT. But if we do, of course, then we have to, like anything, pick a topic that we can make progress on. Certainly there is an appetite within Europe for small business VAT to get easier. So I'd like to come back to that. But your general point of, are we looking at euro issues? Then yes, we are. It's within our scope, even though directly we can only influence HMRC.
One more question?
Well, let me... Oh, there's one over there.
See.
See you again. See wins 3-1.
Sorry about that, Brian. A few years ago, one of my clients asked me what was the statutory reference for accrual counting for taxation purposes. I didn't know. I asked the revenue. They somewhat embarrassedly came back to me and said they don't think there is one. So do we therefore need to abolish it?
It did come in. We're supposed to do gap accounting as per 2 or 3 years ago. Brian will give you the reference. Oh, yeah.
To think I used to like you, John.
But, I mean, it's a fair point. You know, in strictness, we're supposed to use gap accounting under the rules that came in a few years ago. But it doesn't surprise me that the revenue didn't know because, interestingly, when, you know, part of the people we talked to were revenue people. And they were saying, oh, for goodness sake, get rid of accruals accounting. You know, we prefer cash accounting. We can understand it. I'd better stop there. You will see... I'm sorry. No, I've lost it. I was going to say, I have obviously failed to talk to the slides on how the system is changing. Sorry about that. But I detected that people really wanted to talk about the OTS. You got a few comments in there. I'd be delighted to come back and talk another time. It's all right, you can get rid of that. I'll finish with that one. But, okay.
Okay. Before we show our appreciation in the usual way, a couple of things. I've always thought of John as being the voice of taxation, but after this sort of tax factor thing, I'm now seeing him as the Simon Cowell of taxation. Hopefully, with the talk he's given us today, you can see that the Office of Tax Simplification isn't an oxymoron. So can we show John appreciation in the usual way? Now I think we're... slides appeared by magic. Now, can you decant to the different rooms? We've got, I think, about 5 minutes to move between them for the next session. Those that are remaining here for Barry Jefford, please remain, and everybody else just buzz off, please. Yeah, I mean, if they're not sure about the rooms, there should be someone to guide you all the way outside, because... I confess I don't know. If you want to ask John any questions, it's something else. Oh, right, yeah, there's always something, isn't there? Yeah. Who are you looking for?
Barry. Barry, he's there looking at you. Stay, stay. Elvis, you're past you.
Good.
The natives are not restless.
It's good.
How are you on time?
Not starting at 25 to 3, I won't. But,
thank you very much. I think you have got
I did Grantham as well. I spoke at Grantham a couple of years, 2 years ago at the Members' Weekender.
Yeah, I knew you did that. Was that the last time?